Take your Bibles now, turn to John chapter 8. John 8. We're going to be looking at verses 30 to 36. This is a part of our worship. Oftentimes we can think that Sunday morning is made up of various elements, like you have worship and you have teaching and you have prayer. All those are elements of worship. And this is an element of worship. One of the things, oftentimes we think worship is this very active expression on our part, but oftentimes it is this very active listening on our part. So listening as God speaks to us is a very active part of worship. And so think of it that way. We're worshiping God as we listen to Him. We're looking at this passage for the fourth and last time this morning, because these verses, these words are so profound. You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And if the Son sets you free, you shall be free indeed. We're held captive by all sorts of things, but Jesus promises us freedom through His blood and through His truth. And so by His truth, He sets us free from sin. And so we talked about that. He sets us free from fear. Talked about that last week. And today, we're closing with this idea about how He sets us free from despair. He sets us free from despair. So listen to these words. The words of God, the words of life, receive it by faith. Worship God as you listen to Him. And this truth will set you free. John 8, starting verse 30. As He was saying these things, many believed in Him. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in Him, "If you abide in My words, you are truly My disciples. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered Him, "We are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The Son remains forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." Those are the words of our great God, the words that have the power to set you free. May God apply them to our hearts. Pilgrim's Progress is this classic Christian allegory depicting the various trials and temptations that Christians face on this journey through life. And in the course of this story, Christian, the main character, is traveling with his friend Hopeful. They're on headed to the celestial city. And they're walking down the path of truth. But at one point, they decide to step aside from the path and walk in the meadow that bordered the path because it looked easier and it appeared to be going in the same direction. Well, before long, they lost sight of the path of truth and they found themselves to be lost altogether. And so as they began to retrace their steps to get back to the path of truth, night fell and they ended up having to sleep that night on the grounds of a castle. And it just happened to be that this was Doubting Castle, owned by Giant Despair. And early that next morning, the giant found them sleeping on his land. He captured them. He threw them into his dark, nasty dungeon, gave them nothing to eat and drink. The next morning he came in, he beat them severely until they were nearly dead. Then he told them to kill themselves because there was no hope for them. They were going to die in that cell. And so he left some sharp knives within their reach and a bottle of poison to drink. He came back the next day. He saw that they hadn't killed themselves. And he showed them. So he showed them the bones of those who had previously been in that cell, who had now been torn to pieces. He showed them their bones and he assured them that soon the same thing would happen to them. And before he left, he beat them again. They were imprisoned. And that night, Christian and Hopeful, they prayed and prayed and prayed, and just before the sun rose that morning, Christian remembered that he had in his pocket a key. A key called the key of promise. And it was a key that unlocked every door in Doubting Castle. And he took out the key, he unlocked the prison door, and he and Hopeful escaped the dungeon of despair. Now, this allegory points to the fact that it's very easy for us as humans to be locked away in the dungeon of despair, even as Christians, to be locked away in this dungeon. And we can linger for quite a while in the dungeon of despair. We can lose heart, lose hope, thinking that there's no real escape, that we're going to die in that cell. And we can even get to the point of despairing even of life itself, thinking it would be better to simply not be alive anymore. But Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." The truth, he says, is the key to freedom. The key of promise. The key of God's Word has the power to unlock any door in the dungeon of despair. And so the more you know and understand and believe the truth, the more you will be set free. Do you find yourself today wallowing in that dungeon of despair? Are you losing heart, losing hope? You feel like the darkness is closing in all around you? Well, take these words to heart. You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. The truth is the key that sets you free from the dungeon of despair. As we begin today, I want to think generally about how susceptible we are to despair, how easily it can smother us. And then after that, I want to think a little bit more specifically about some of the major factors that lead us into the dungeon of despair, along with the corresponding truth that sets us free from that dungeon. So first, you and I are very vulnerable to despair. And even as Christians, we can remain quite vulnerable. When I think about despair, I often think of two characters in the Bible, Elijah and Paul. Elijah was being hunted by Jezebel. There was a nationwide manhunt for Elijah. And he ran away in fear. And he got to a point, lay down under a tree. And he said to God, "Please just let me die here." He despaired of life. He wanted to give up. Elijah, this great prophet, despaired. And then Paul, the great apostle, at least at one point in his life, he despaired of life itself. He said that he and his companions had faced so much affliction, they were so overwhelmed beyond their strength, that it says in chapter 1 of 2 Corinthians that they despaired even of life itself. That even Paul was on the verge of giving up altogether. Even Paul considered drinking the poison that giant despair had provided him. If these great men are vulnerable, you and I most definitely are. There was a very insightful article published back in 2001 in an academic journal called the Review of General Psychology. And the article was entitled, "Bad is Stronger Than Good." Bad is stronger than good. And the point of the article made was that the bad events in your life have far more influence in your thinking than the good events. So bad emotions, bad parents, bad news, bad feedback, they all have far more impact in our lives than the good ones. And the reason why that is because we process negative information far more thoroughly than positive information. I'm guessing you know what I mean. I mean, just think about it. If someone made a comment, a positive comment to you about something that you did, and then right after that, someone made a negative comment about something that you did, which of those two things are you going to lay awake at night thinking about? The negative one every single time. We spend way more time thinking about the negative things that happen than the positive things that happen. We dwell on the bad news far more often than the good news. And if you're like me, you can randomly replay negative memories all throughout your day. They just sort of pop into your mind. And we can easily let those negative memories imprison us in despair or shame or depression or hopelessness, or really just it'll lead us to an overwhelming pessimism about life or about ourselves. And in our era of modern technology, we have access to more and more information all around the world and information about history in the past, giving us many, 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 many times more negative things to dwell on. And as a result, year by year, we are a more despairing and depressed society. Dr. David Murray said, in some ways, it's amazing that we're not all completely depressed. Some have succumbed and are sunk in the depths, but most of us are still trundling along, unaware that we are on a slow and shallow decline into pessimism, despair, and hopelessness. Nothing like a good pep talk to get ready for the day. But the reality is that this is a human tendency. Despair is a real problem in your life, in my life. And if it's not yet so much in your life, it likely will be. You'll come to those times when it seems like that darkness is enveloping you. But that's what makes the words of Jesus that much more powerful. You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Even the most optimistic among us can get worn down. I often tell people I'm naively optimistic, but I all too often can be given to despair because there's so much to despair. Do you find yourself imprisoned in this dungeon often? Well, I want you to imagine an enormous set of scales, balanced scales. And you take all those things that lead you to despair and you pile them all on one side of this enormous set of scales. They're big, they're heavy, all just barely fits onto the scale. And then you just took one Bible and you set it on the other side. And that single Bible would tip the scales to the other side because the truth of God overwhelmingly outweighs all the items that lead us to despair. Again, David Murray in his book, The Happy Christian, he simply reminds us of the facts. He reminds us that the facts of Scripture are far greater than our feelings. He reminds us that the good news is actually far greater than the bad news. He reminds us that the future is far greater than the past. He reminds us that God's grace is far greater than a world of sin. And he reminds us that he who is with us is far greater than he who is in the world. And yet how easily we forget this, allowing the many negatives to imprison us in despair. And so what we need to do as God's people, we need to remember all the positives that we have in Jesus, to change that habit of dwelling on all the negatives, because the positives far outweigh all the negatives. The power of the truth can unlock the prison door of the dungeon of despair. So we all have this natural tendency to despair. There's lots to despair about, but there's even far more to rejoice about. So now let's consider those individual factors that can so easily imprison us in the dungeon of despair, along with the truth that sets us free, the corresponding truth. And so I want to consider five factors along with its corresponding truth that sets you free. Five factors that can imprison us. The first factor is sort of the most basic one of all. It's a feeling of meaninglessness and purposelessness. I put these two together in one category because they're so closely related. If you have no real meaning, or if there's no real meaning to life, then there's no purpose to life. You have no reason to continue. You'll be locked in the dungeon. A meaninglessness is characterized by the question of why. Why are we here? Why is this world here? Why does nature function the way that it does? Why do we have a sense of right and wrong? You could argue that the question of why is the most pressing and the most important question of all, because without that, the answer to that question, the rest of the questions of life become irrelevant. Life must first have meaning in order for it to matter. So meaninglessness asks the question of why. Purposelessness is characterized by the question of, well, what's the point then? Who cares? If there's no meaning to life, there's no purpose. Apart from God, there's no essential meaning and therefore no real purpose for us to continue in misery or to continue in the bondage that we live in, the struggles, the afflictions. And really, the motto is then eat, drink, and be merry because tomorrow we die. I remember talking to a friend many years ago who'd gone through some really hard things, tragic things. He wasn't, is not a Christian as far as I know today. And I asked him, well, what keeps him going? And the best answer he could come up with was, well, to have children. To have children, to bring them into a world of misery. What he was coming to understand was that apart from God, you have no real reason. There's no real meaning. There's no real purpose to life. You know, the prevailing viewpoint of our society, the prevailing philosophy in our schools is that we are the result of hundreds of billions of years of evolution. That we're the result of random particles that smash together and chance. That philosophy sucks all the meaning and purpose out of life. And so it shouldn't surprise us that more and more people are losing motivation to do anything, because if that's all we are, then there is no point. That conclusion is called nihilism. This was the conclusion that Friedrich Nietzsche came to, a brilliant, brilliant man, IQ through the roof. He rejected early on in his life the claims of Christianity, and he was constantly throughout his life asking the question why, because he wanted to find meaning. And the only thing that his brilliant mind arrived at was the dismal conclusion that life has no essential meaning. And it ultimately plunged him into a dungeon of despair where he eventually died. Maybe you struggle with this. You have no sense of purpose or meaning. And it's dragging you into this dungeon of despair. Well, it's the truth that will set you free. It's the truth that fills your life with extraordinary meaning and purpose. And the truth is that in the beginning, God created all things. He created us and this world with meaning. You're not the result of random chance, but God created you and this world to show His glory, His eternal power, His divine nature, to show His creativity and beauty. He fills the world with meaning and purpose. And then He created you and the rest of mankind to be His image bearers. You can think of us as being like little mirrors reflecting a small part of who God is into this world. Every human being that has ever been born reveals something about the goodness and glory of God. This meaning then fills your life with purpose. The reason you're alive is to glorify this God who made you, to think and to speak and to work and to function in your various roles and circumstances in life in such a way that you now show the glory of God to the world. You have a far greater purpose than simply, you know, wanting to get married or pursuing the American dream or making life comfortable or making more money. It's a waste of time. Apart from God. But you, right now, as you are, in the circumstances that you face, you have the high privilege of bringing glory to God in all that you do. And that fills every moment of your life with significance and purpose. So when you face circumstances that lead you down that path of despair, pause and ask yourself the question, how can I, in this circumstance, bring glory to God? Because that's why I'm here. That's why I'm in it. God fills your life with purpose. You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. A second factor that can imprison you in the dungeon of despair is worthlessness. Feelings of worthlessness can be overwhelming, and this feeling usually grows from a comparison to others. You compare yourself to others. You see their success in school or in their career or in their relationships. You see that they're funnier and more likable and prettier, and they seem to be really happy. At least, you know, that's how they look on Facebook or Instagram. And compared to them, you feel like a failure, worthless. I've struggled myself with worthlessness. I've struggled because I get caught in this deadly game of comparisons, and when I don't measure up, I despair. Maybe you failed a test, or you lost a job, or you can't seem to succeed the way everyone else does, or the way this person did. Or your marriage isn't as healthy as you'd like it to be, or the way other marriages seem to be. Or you aren't married, and so you feel worthless that way because you have no you feel like you have no identity. You may feel like a failure, but it's the truth that sets you free. Psalm 139 says that God carefully knitted you together in your mother's womb, which means that He gave you your looks and your gifts and your personality along with your experiences and your circumstances so that you can uniquely glorify God in a way that no one else can. He didn't create you to be any of those people you see on Instagram, so forget about them. Don't compare yourself to them. He created you to be you, and no one else can glorify God the way you can. And then not only did He create you, but He also loved you in order to redeem you. If you know Jesus Christ, then you know that God loved you so much that He gave His Son for you. That Jesus paid the ultimate price by going to the cross in order to purchase your life. Which means you're far, far, far more precious than you understand. Think about this. The value of an object is determined by how much someone will pay to have it. I found out that Mark Rothko is an artist, and I've never heard of him, but he painted three rectangles on a piece of canvas. Is a canvas a piece? On a canvas. And that's it. Three rectangles, three different colors, something a 10-year-old could do. And it sold at auction for $75 million. You and I, if you saw it, you wouldn't identify it as a masterpiece. But one very wealthy person did, and therefore that painting is worth $75 million. You may feel like you don't look like anything special, that you're not much. But if you know Jesus, then God chose to spill His own Son's precious blood, and Jesus willingly went to the cross to spill His own blood to purchase your life from hell and to adopt you into His great family. And because you were bought with the most precious item in the world, the blood of Jesus, then you're worth the highest possible price. That's where you find your value. Don't find your value in how you perform, how you compare to others. Find your value in who loved you and who bought you and who saved you. God gives you value. This is the truth that will set you free from despair, the despair of worthlessness. The third factor that drives many of us into the dungeon of despair is trauma. Trauma can imprison us in despair. I know that some of you here have been through a lot. Some of you have been abused physically, sexually, verbally. Some of you have been bullied for perhaps long periods of time. taken advantage of in some way. Some of you have been neglected or rejected in some way. Some of our members have suffered the trauma of violence, like war or shootings. Others have suffered the trauma of the loss of a loved one. Or there's the trauma of cancer or chronic pain or a terminal diagnosis. Trauma comes in all kinds of forms. And they can leave big, big wounds that never quite seem to heal. And these traumas can become our identities, and they can imprison us in despair. And lots of people try to, if they suffered trauma, they try to numb the pain through drugs or alcohol or relationships or all kinds of things, which make them feel numb for a moment, but it always comes back. Ed Welch, a Christian counselor, he asked the question, Scripture addresses human suffering to considerable depth, but does it address the pain of trauma? That's an important question. And we find that the answer to that question by reflecting on the kinds of traumas that are there in Scripture. You have it all: murder, death, abuse, rape, massacres, burning and pillaging. As I mentioned, I mentioned Elijah and Paul before. I also mentioned the prophet Jeremiah, who was reflecting on the downfall of the northern kingdom, Israel, anticipating the fall of the southern kingdom, Judah, anticipating the utter destruction of Jerusalem, his own home. And he says in Jeremiah 10, "Woe is me because of my hurt. My wound is grievous. My tent is destroyed and all my cords are broken. My children have gone from me and they are no more. There is no one to spread my tent again and to set up my curtains." Talk about trauma. The truth of God addresses deep trauma. So what's the truth that sets you free from your trauma? Well, the same word that's used there in Jeremiah 10 to describe Jeremiah's affliction, that same word is found in Isaiah 53, which speaks of the suffering servant, who is Jesus, and says that he is a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and he bore our griefs and carried our sorrows. What this tells us is that as Jesus went to the cross, he not only carried your sins and nailed them to the cross, but also your trauma, in order to set you free, so that it no longer defines who you are or enslaves you. The truth about your great Savior sets you free. He knows, and he loves you. Julie Lowe, another Christian counselor, reflected on what helped her the most when she was needing to get through, or when she'd experienced great trauma. And she said it was when others came alongside of her and her family to help them understand, or to understand them, to understand what they went through, and also to help them process the loss. To have someone there. Well, how much greater is the comfort that comes from knowing that you're God and Savior. He knows your trauma. He carried your sorrows to the cross so that it can no longer define you or imprison you. He sets you free. Trauma runs deep, I recognize that. But the saving and healing power of Jesus runs deeper. His truth will set you free. A fourth factor that leads to despair now is loneliness. Although in some ways we're more connected than ever through technology, the rate of loneliness is higher and higher each year, higher than ever. The former U.S. Surgeon General, Dr. Murthy, said that loneliness is an epidemic in our society, and he even then referred to it as a public crisis. According to one study, loneliness has more than doubled in the last 50 years. Doubled. Loneliness imprisons us in despair. Well, how does the truth of God address this problem? Well, the reality is that if you find your only companionship with other humans, you will be disappointed at some point. They will let you down. You will go through loss. You will go through loneliness. But the great promise that we have through Jesus is that God will never leave you or forsake you. Psalm 27 says, though father and mother may forsake you, even if you're an orphan, if you have no family, if you're alone, though your father and mother, though father and mother forsake me, the Lord will hold me close. This reminds me of the story found in Genesis 28. Jacob fled from his home. He was running for his life. And it was all his own fault. He had lied and cheated his brother out of blessing and birthright. And so Esau wanted to kill him. Jacob fled for his life. And that night, he lay down outside the city of Luz. And he went to sleep. Tired, scared, and alone. And that night he dreamed of a massive staircase that stretched up to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on this great staircase, and God himself then descended on this staircase, and he stood at his side, and he said, remember, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go. What he's telling Jacob is that you will never be alone, because I am with you. The truth sets us free from loneliness. The truth that God is always with you. Later in the New Testament, we're told that the staircase is symbolic of Jesus, that through Jesus, God himself is with you, that he's descended and will keep you wherever you go. Truth will set you free because you learn to find your treasure and your delight and your companionship in God. And if you find that, you'll never be alone again. When you live in this truth, you'll be set free from the prison of loneliness. The fifth and final factor that can lock you away in the dungeon of despair is hopelessness. Some of you can be so overwhelmed by your circumstances that you think things will never change. You see your circumstances continuing on indefinitely, or maybe even getting worse. And that can be very hopeless. Viktor Frankl, reflecting on his time that he spent as a prisoner in multiple concentration camps during World War II, he said that those who lost hope just withered away and died. Because without hope, they had no reason to continue. It was those who held on to hope, the hope of freedom, who were able to survive the atrocities of the prisons. Well, maybe your circumstances have led you down this despair, to despair of the future. That nothing will change. That your trial, your pain, those things will eventually crush you. Nothing's going to change. It's only going to get worse, and you've lost hope. Well, the truth of God is filled with hope. I'm going to point out two quick truths that give you hope. First, you have hope in the truth that God is working all things together for your good, which means that even in the darkest struggles and the seemingly endless trials, that you can anticipate a greater good resulting from it. It may not make sense, but you trust in this promise. Your struggle is bringing about for you a greater and deeper good. Hope in that. Second, you have to have hope in the life to come. God promises that the day is coming when he will heal every disease, when he will resolve every conflicted relationship and marriage, when there will be no more financial trouble or searching, when you'll never be alone again, when you'll never hunger or thirst, when you'll never cry or mourn, because death will be no more. God will wipe away every tear from your eye. You'll be in his presence forever where there is endless joy. Johnny Erickson Tata is a quadriplegic. She became a quadriplegic when she dove into a shallow pool and broke her neck. And the reality is that her body will never recover in this life. She'll be in bed or in a wheelchair until she dies. But she said that this tragedy has forced her to set her eyes on the glory of the resurrection, when she'll stand again in the presence of God, lifting up her hands in praise to a Redeemer. Maybe God has you in a position going through a trial that's meant to help you fix your eyes on the glory that is coming. A glory so great, so lasting, that it'll make the trials of this life feel slight and momentary. This truth will set you free. We all tend toward despair because life is filled with many negatives. And like Christian and hopeful, we too can be locked in the dungeon of despair. Do you feel locked in that dungeon right now? The Lord gives you a way of escape. If you believe in Jesus Christ, then you have in your possession the key to unlock that dungeon door, the key of promise, the key of truth. And it's that truth that outweighs all the negatives. So fix your heart and your mind on the truth and on the promises of God. Let them be your daily food. Force them into your mind. Force them into your heart. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Let's pray. God, we too often wander from the path of truth and find ourselves locked in the dungeon of despair. And we can linger there for quite some time. Help us, Lord, to throw away the bottle of poison, those knives. And let us hold fast to the key of truth. Help us to fix our minds on the truth so that we will be set free. Set us free to run on the path of life, all for your glory. It's in Jesus we pray. Amen.